Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and I appreciate your presence with us today on Blog Talk Radio. This is the Friday Fellowship of Learners, and we are learning and we are growing. So enjoy this selection.
These are the names of God: El, Creator. Genesis 14:18-22. Elohim, the Strong One, the Mighty One. Genesis 1:1-26. Eloah, the one and only true God. Deuteronomy 32:15. El Elyon, God the Most High. Genesis 14:19. El Shaddai, God Almighty, the Breasted One, the All-Sufficient One. Genesis 17:1. El Roi, the All-Seeing God, the God who sees me. Genesis 16:13-14. El Olam, the Everlasting God. Genesis 21:33. El Bethel, God of the House of God. Genesis 28:19. El Elohi Israel, the God of the Prince, having the power with God and man. Genesis 33:20. El Gibor, Great God. Isaiah 9:6. Elohim Elyon, God the Most High. Psalms 91:1-2. Elohim Sabaoth, the Lord God of Hosts. Psalms 87:14. Adonai, Master, Owner, and Ruler of All. Psalms 147:5. Emmanuel.
I wanted to start with the names of God because I think that's a very important insight that the author gives us this morning in the prayer of Elijah. And so we look at the history of Yahweh, and the author speaks of it. And so I wanted to share this writing as relates to, this is from The Names of God by Anne Franklin, Lord, Yahweh. The name Yahweh occurs more than 6,800 times in the Old Testament. It appears in every book but Esther, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Songs. As the sacred personal name of Israel's God, it was actually spoken aloud only by priests worshiping in the Jerusalem temple. After the destruction of the temple in A.D. 770, the name was not pronounced at all. Adonai was substituted for Yahweh wherever it appeared in the biblical text. Because of this, the correct pronunciation of this name was actually lost. English editions of the Bible usually translate Adonai as Lord, and that's capital L, little O, lowercase R, lowercase D, and Yahweh as capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Yahweh is the name that is most closely linked to God's redeeming act in the history of his chosen people. We know God because of what he has done. When you pray to Yahweh, remember that he is the same God who draws near to save you from the tyranny of sin, just as he saved the people from the tyranny in Egypt. I thought that was interesting in that the spelling, and I had never really noticed it before, that in the Bible, as you're reading, some places say Lord, that is just capital letter, L, and some places that say Lord is all of the letters are capital. All of the letters are capital. And so the lowercase translates as Adonai, and those that are capital translate as Yahweh. It says afraid of profaning this covenant name of God, various rabbinical writers spoke of it as a name, a great and terrible name, the unutterable name, the infallible name, the holy name, and the distinguished name, also known as the tetragrammaton, which is words without vowels. Because it was formed by the first Hebrew consonant, so there were no vowels in it. YHWH. It was first rendered Jehovah in the Middle Ages and enshrined as such in the King James Version of the Bible. This mispronunciation arose when in the 10th century Jewish scholars began studying, applying vowels to Hebrew words, which had formerly been written without vowels. And so what they actually did was they took the Hebrew word that no vowels, that's YHWH, and they used the vowels from Adonai and within it, and so it produced the word Yahweh. The vowels for Adonai were inserted into the four letters of the Y, and they put the A as Adonai, H, they put the O, which is the second vowel in Adonai, H, A, which is the third vowel in Adonai. It says, unfortunately, the translation Lord, which is with all capitals, Lord, which is just capital L, with the lowercase. Okay, it is just a title rather than a name, a title. And it obscures the personal nature of this name of God. Though the meaning of Yahweh is disputed, the mysterious self-description in Exodus 3 and 14, I am who I am, may convey the sense not only that God is self-existent, but that he is always present with his people. Yahweh is not a God who is remote or aloof, but one who is always near, intervening in history on behalf of his people. The knowledge of God's proper name implies a covenant relationship. God's covenant name is closely associated with his saving act in Exodus. And the name Yahweh invokes images of God's saving power in the lives of his people. And that is the explanation that is given on that name, Lord, in the name of God reference book by Ann Spankler. And the author uses and shares with us a light description and definition, and also adds that because of this mispronunciation, remember, it is very important when we pray in the name of Jesus. And so the author is sharing with us, though in Old Testament, the proper pronunciation may have been lost, the meaning may have been lost, or divided into two. One thing that's a title, and the other that is a indication of relationship. But he shares with us that we can be absolutely assured of the personal name of the Son of God, because it is Jesus, and it is perfect in the Hebrew, Yahshua, and that's Y-E-S-H-U-A, Yahshua. Christians should go beyond merely referring to him as Christ or the Messiah, which are just titles. Both mean the anointed one, but they are just titles. And go further to indicate the personal relationship and knowledge that you have, and thus using his personal name, Jesus. Yahweh of the Old Testament is the Yahshua of the New Testament, because he always has been and always will be the image of the invisible God. Yahshua, which means the salvation of God, is described as the name which is above every name. Calling God by his personal name indicates we have a right to access the Father and all the divinely conferred privileges of salvation, including the amazing promise that he gave when he walked on the earth, which and Christ shared with us, ask anything in my name, and you shall receive it. And so that is a very first PowerPoint of the prayer of Elijah in our lesson today, is knowing that name, even knowing the history and the background of it. So when we say it, we really do have a personal knowledge of the name and of the one on whose name we are calling. We don't want to just call on a name with a title. We want to call on the name that will express our relationship and our connection to him, and that is that name of Jesus, and that is that name. And as you're reading, you know, I encourage you, as you go through your Bible, your different Bible readings, look for the two different presentations of Lord. Lord with just the capital L and the lowercase number letters, or the Lord with all capital letters. And then we understand that one is a title. It means, and as the authors here, when they translated the Hebrew text originally, okay, that the one is translated as Adonai, and the other Yahweh. And so we want to dig. I think someone said that was part of the revelation God, the Rhema word for them was, dig into my word. Dig into it so that you can get some of the hidden mysteries that he will reveal to those who have a close relationship with him. That's one of the benefits of our growing closer to God, of our seeking him diligently, is to seeking and searching and digging for every evidence of him and every evidence of his of a revelation referring to him, because then we're able to pull on that. We are able to use that as our calling card, if you will, for access to all of the rights that have been promised to us. So when we use these things, when we have this knowledge in our hearts and our minds, the enemy cannot divert. He cannot interfere. He cannot distort the things that we're saying, because we don't have a knowledge and an understanding of them. And when you're in warfare, as we grow and as we are drawn closer and closer to God, then we start to get the attention of the principalities in darkness and the rulers in higher places. And when you get in that realm, when you get in that type of a position, as you are drawing near to God, the closer you get to God, the more fierce the warfare becomes. And so the more expert, if you will, and the more advanced your weaponry must be. And so when we pray, we have to know this thing. We have to understand this thing. And then we will be confident in it, because we have this understanding. He said, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." So oftentimes when we're praying and we're doing things and we're saying things, and we're saying them from what someone told us and not from something that has been revealed to us through the Holy Spirit, we don't really have a firm grip on it. We're holding on to it, or we're reaching for it, but we don't have that grip on it that's unshakable, that cannot be moved, unmovable. That's how you get unmovable, as you've dug into the Word of God through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, and He's revealed these mysteries and these secrets to you, because you are diligently seeking Him. And there are blessings for those that diligently seek the Lord. And so it's interesting that He can use words like this, like diligent, and it's not per chance. It is very purposeful. It's very intentional, because it takes you to a different level of a seeking. You can seek the Lord with all your heart when you diligently seek Him. That's something that's very, very purposeful. It's very direct. It is something that is very intentional. And so we want to make sure that the enemy knows that we know, by digging in and getting this information and this understanding and this revelation that God will give us. And so we rejoice in the fact that He will allow us to come into the Holy of Holies. And I thought it was interesting, because it shared that the only time the name was mentioned before in the Old Testament was by the priest in the temple, not just the priest, but the priest had to be positioned in the temple. And so that was the only time they were allowed to speak that name, was in the presence of God. And so that gives you an insight into the fact that there are some things that just anybody can't do. And or no matter who you are, you can only do it if you're in a certain place, if you're in a certain place. And that temple was the place that God put His name in on the earth. We saw that in some earlier lessons with Solomon. Place your name in this temple. And when we pray towards this temple, that's getting an understanding of the presence of God and where He is and how to diligently seek Him. There were times in the Old Testament, and we probably don't have a good grip and understanding of this, but a whole nation of people, no matter where they were, if they were 1,000, 100 miles away, or 500 miles away, they packed their stuff up and they journeyed to where the temple was. That's what Jesus was going to. They were taking Him to the temple to dedicate it. That's what Hannah was doing when she was there, because she had been at home, and they packed up and they went to the temple because it was that time to diligently seek the Lord. And so in these times when these people were diligently seeking the Lord is when the supernatural results came from their prayer, from the position that they were in. And so we want to understand this name of God. And we've been drilled and drilled, and we had a shallow knowledge, a cursory knowledge, you know, a beginning knowledge of it 2-3 years ago. But we never let up. Leadership has always kept bringing it before our face. And sometimes you go, okay, yeah, I know. But it's because it's like, no, there's so much more. And you can never know it all, never. And so you must always be seeking more knowledge, more, the more of him. And these are things that bring about a position in our spiritual life that will overshadow and overcome the natural and the natural circumstances. This is why you can have a confidence. This is why you can have a joy. This is why you can have gladness, no matter what is going on around you. And this is why you will have strength. I heard a preacher say that one of his congregants asked him to pray her strength because she had to do something. And he said, no, I can't do that. And she was just appalled. What do you mean you can't pray my strength? And so he said, because the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that as you seek the Lord, okay, he will make your heart glad. So I can't pray your strength. That's something you have to go and diligently seek, because you got to know where it comes from. And once you know where it comes from, then you know you got it. And that will make you know you are strong. You are strong because God said it, not because the creature prayed for you to be strong or to find the strength in the Lord. But you have this joy that is unspeakable, and that it is yours. It belongs to you, and it empowers you with a strength that will allow you then, along with the knowledge of, to have direct access to the things of heaven, the power of heaven, the wisdom of heaven. I think the author shares how this gives you direct access to the outpouring, not just the what's there, but immediately the outpouring of wisdom, the outpouring of revelation, the outpouring of favor, and the outpouring of power that brings about supernatural results for your prayers. That's how Elijah prayed fire down from heaven, because he understood that name of God. He understood the name of God. Which is why we started our program with the names of God, a wonderful, awesome CD by Apostle Hook. And this was 10 years ago. So it's always been put before us. And now we're really getting in a place where we're enjoying it. So it's almost like that 10 years ago was just an appetizer to an hors d'oeuvres before dinner. And as we have journeyed through this learning and this teaching and in this ministry, then it's become a full course meal, you know, not a full course, sometimes they say a 5-course meal, okay, or a 10-course meal, because it becomes so rich and filling spiritually. It nurtures us, it nourishes us, because it places us in a place where we can then stand and speak as the priest did when they went into the temple, where the name of God was, the name of God was. And they understood that name to the point where, I love it, where the other author describes the name, the great and terrible name, the unutterable name, the infallible name, the holy name, the distinct name, the distinguished name. And so these are adjectives that are used that describe our understanding of the nature of God that he has revealed to us. And so when we do that, we are, remember, one of the points in prayer was the PowerPoint is to acknowledge. And that's the thing you have to do to declare who he is, to acknowledge his presence. I love it. I'm trying to find it. To rehearse it in our prayers, to reaffirm it in our prayers, to clarify it in our prayers, to assert it in our prayers, to establish it in our prayers, and to acknowledge it in our prayers. And when we're doing those things, we are diligently not just giving him, you know, first giving honor to God. No, it's going so much deeper. Not just honor, but affirmation. I know who you are. I'm establishing your presence in this situation. I am clarifying the fact that you have the power over all things to do that which is being petitioned you. I am rehearsing what I've seen you do before, and I know that you are a God that doesn't change. And so what you have done before, you will do again. And so that really just brings us to the opening of this particular section of our lesson today. That was PowerPoint 1, and then PowerPoint 2 is in the prayer, and we're talking about the prayer that Elijah prayed on the Mount of Carmel. I just love it. When he challenged the priest of Baal to, you know, if your God be God, we'll worship him. But if my whoever answers by fire from heaven, then let it be declared that that is the truth and the living God. And so he challenged them. He actually tormented them as they did all of the gyrations and ceremonial things and rituals, trying to get their God to answer, which he never did. And the confidence of Elijah in the God that he was representing was so strong that it was laughable watching the enemy trying to invoke an action that only the true and living God could do. And that needs to be our attitude when we see evil come before us, when we see evil all around us, when we see evil trying to accomplish our attention or grab our children. It needs to be laughable to us, because we need to understand the end of the evil. God is going to prevail, and God will show himself greater than the enemy that is around us. And when you have that kind of confidence, you're not standing like, oh, I hope God really does this for me, or, you know, I'm just praying. It's like, no, I'm praising God. I'm thanking God. God laughs at the enemy. He laughs at foolishness. And we should laugh at foolishness, because we understand how that is going to end. He said that you will see the wicked get punished. You're not going to be a part of it, but you're going to watch it. Because this is what is part of, actually, the inheritance of the saints. There are those that are under the altar saying, Lord, how long? How long will you until you avenge us? So we're gonna see this avengement. You know, God said, you know, I am the Lord. I will avenge. Don't you try to fight your enemy in that, trying to amend something that happened to you. I'm going to be that person and your champion, and your that's going to champion you and punish your enemy. And so this is the kind of a stance and position that we need to have when we petition the Lord, and that's when we get the supernatural results like fire from heaven. That did this awesome whole process of the scripture said it consumed first. I want to find it because I think it's the moment. It consumed the offering, the burnt offering, the wood, the stone, the dust, and it lit up the water that was in the trench around the sacrifice that was a part of the test of who is God. And when God got through, the whole nation couldn't do anything but fall on their face and say, the Lord, he is God. the Lord, he is God. And that's what Jesus, and we're told in the New Testament, this is what's going to happen, because he said every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is God, that he is Lord, and that his name is above every other name. And so it was previewed, if you will, in the Old Testament, and it will manifest, it was fulfilled in the New Testament, and it will be manifested itself in in the world today. The world will fall to their knees and know that he is God. He is the only true and living God. And so as we look at the PowerPoint 2, where Elijah then asks the name of the patriarch, the names of the Lord, calling him the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And by doing this, he was making a powerful and a multifaceted declaration. There we go, decree and declare. First, he was reminding God, we got history together. You know, we know some of the same people. Those are my people, okay? Because our forefathers were in covenant relationship with you. And we expect the continuation of those promises and commitments that you made to them. We expect them. We believe in the promise that you gave our forefathers. And I thought it was really interesting, and I kind of paused there because Elijah was able to say to God, in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And today, you know, what name can you put there for Abraham, Isaac, and Israel that's in your generation or the generations that just passed, say, in your family or in those matriarchs and those men and women of God that you saw God work miracles through and for, and you can claim that same understanding. And so when I got there, it's like I should have three names in my life that I have either heard of, believed of, saw it, witnessed, because he was another generation. He had heard it, okay? So something I've heard about some people, okay? And so I came up with some of my own, but I challenge you to come up with some. Whose life has been shared with you, I'll say this century, but maybe in the last century, or this century or the last century, you are the God of, okay? You are the God of Marzell. You are the God of Lillian, you know, of these people that you know. You are the God of Dr. R.L. Fuller. You know, that's the God I'm calling on, the one that I saw in those people's lives do these miracle things. The God of Shanette that I saw work miracles. You know, the God of Kathleen Kuhlman that just did those just miraculous things. The God of the man in Azusa. You know, so we have to remember our stuff, remember our history, because that's what gives your prayer power. You may not have known Abraham, and you may not have understood what Abraham had to do. But some people, you have seen it, and because of today's society and the way things are working, you could see it because it's recorded. The God of Billy Graham, you know, the God of these people that spoke and thousands came for and connected to the body. The God of the God of Paul and Peter. Okay, so we have, and these are they received rhema words as they received their calling and as they went forth in the task and ministry that was set upon their lives, and some became martyrs to those things. But because of that, because their life and calling upon that is rehearsing some of the stuff you've seen God do. So if you have somebody that you love, you should know some of the things that they've done. that's how you know something about them. That's how you diligently seek to enhance the relationship that you have with them by finding out about some of the stuff that they've done. You wouldn't dare marry a man, or you marry a man, marry a woman who you didn't know anything that they had ever done or ever accomplished, wherever they've been. You would need to know that you finished high school, that you would want to know something that was a part of their life. You would want to know the details. And so even, I'm not saying that the details have to be good or bad or one way or the other, but you would want to know just because of you sharing their space. And then remember, not just sharing their space, this is a relationship where you're going to become one with, in on the natural and on the spiritual side, one with again. We're becoming one as Christ was one with the Father. We're going to be one with each other. That's why he says, know those who labor among you. You need to know. You need to understand so that you can respect, you can love, so that you can associate those things that make you one, and then you can, I won't say focus on those, but you can, that's the thing that takes over the influence of your relationship and your coming together. And so find out, just think about three people, the God of, and name their names, and then remember what it was you saw them do, what it was you were a witness to the supernatural evidence of their prayer life, of their life of ministry. I often think of Wings of Praise. Patton Gary Anderson, and just the miraculous things they would do and the things that would happen when they would come in the presence. I mean, we saw angels on the wall. Okay. So these are people we know. And so this is what we, I'm going to say, ascribe to, but we can rehearse in our mind so that that which we ask has that same kind of impact and power because we have a frame of reference of today. Now they had it, and still the God of Abraham and Isaac and Israel, I'm not saying don't, but I'm just saying add to, because God didn't just stop there, and he gave them promises, as we'll see later on, he gave them a rhema word that can be declared. It says when Moses first saw God, he said, "This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations." So what he's done, he continues to do. So he's done it in this generation before, and so we need to see that memorial that God has left in the earth realm, because it's left there for us to grab hold to get a place of strength from. It says there's a cloud of witnesses around you. They're there, and so we need to get the testimony of the saints, because that they overcome by that, and we can be encouraged by that. It says this declaration to stir the coals of the burning question in our own hearts. Why would the perfect and flawless God of heaven name himself with the names of imperfect and flawed men? And so because he refers himself to as their God, gave them promises. I love it when it says it is because doing so, and that's what that name of God means. He's not just an awesome, distant creator who is relatively uninvolved in the lives of people. Instead, he holds a very personal love toward each and all individuals with whom he has a genuine relationship. He is not just the God of the universe, he and its immensity, but he is the God who embraces us in all of our smallness. Because in compared to the to the immensity of the universe and the universes and the verses in front of the verses, the heavens and the heavens. We're less than little tiny ants. It's just such a smallness. But he is not just the God of a nation of famous, faceless people, but he is the God of every individual in that covenant nation. Each person is supremely and infinitely important to him. He knows the number of hairs on your head, and they fall off all day, and they grow again, and they fall off. But he knows every infinite detail about you. That's the kind of love he has for us. His thoughts, he's thinking about us more than the number of sand on a seashore, which are, to me, uncountable, okay? But because it's just so infinitely. And that's how infinitely important you are to him. That's why I love that search for significance when it says you are fully pleasing, wholly accepted, deeply loved, and complete in Christ Jesus. You, and so you put your name, that's what Paulette is. And so we often think of the us and the you and the we as a group, and we are a group. We are a group of one because we're made to be one, made to be united as one. But even in our unitedness, just like in Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're one, but they're distinct. And each one has something that is needed in our life. And so this uniqueness, but yet this oneness is the kind of God that he is. His mind is just so beyond us. His ways are, as he said, they're so much higher. However, as he lifts us up, he said, he will lift us up. He draws us higher. And that's how we then can receive the mind of Christ. Yes, his thoughts are higher than ours, but he brings us up to where his thoughts are. Christ did that for us. You don't have to stay down there. Yet, you know, as we go up, know that it's not as he is, but it is, what do you say, in the mirror, you know, when he appears, then we will be. So, but it is a diligent process of going higher and higher as we diligently seek him. He diligently reveals himself to us. And it says, the use of this name was also a prophetic way of declaring that what he did in the lives of the patriarchs, he can and he will do again. And so he says, consider these following things God performed in their lives. And so these are all saints from the word of God. But if you look at just the first sentence of each one, I task you into thinking of a person that is true for. It says, a God who often calls those who are unqualified for their God-given task. Now, he uses Abraham and Sarah, you know, because of their age. But you can put somebody's name in there. That's the God who often calls those who are unqualified for their God-given task. So he can do anything. What he did before, he will do again. So when did he do this again in your life that you know? Now, next is a God who raises dead things back to life. Dead things back to life. And they shared this with Abraham's body, you know, and Sarah's body being able to go dead to reproduction, and it came alive for that. But who do you know that God has raised, and what example, what situation, what knowledge do you have of the generations around you who he raised dead things back to life? Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I think that as we do that, as we meditate on these things, then we start thinking, we start seeing that he has written the Bible many, many times over. You know, or it's the same words, but it's all different people's names in there, but he's done the same thing. And a God who turns cursed people into a blessing. Hallelujah. That first one came to my mind there. Amen. A God who turns cursed people into a blessing. And so these are things, people that you deserve. You were cursed. You were cursed. And now he's made you a blessing. And not just a small thing, you know, but those things that we don't realize just how great and eternal that they are. Okay? And then calling him the God of Isaac was a declaration that he is a God who turns mourning into laughter. Yes, my God. Remember when he's done it. And I'm pretty sure this has happened, each one of these attributes and each one of these situations, each one of these are indicative of something that has happened in everybody's life that's on this line today, because that's the way God is. A God who often fulfills promises after a long waiting period. Yes, Jesus. Yes, yes. And think about when that was. And you start to rejoice in that, and you start getting the power from that. You know, that, yeah, he is faithful, and that proves he's faithful. He is trustworthy, and that proves he is. Your faith will be built, and you'll become unmovable. There you go. You become unmovable. A God who causes a spiritual legacy and blessing to pass from one generation to the next. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, a God who often exalts those who seem less likely to succeed. Absolutely. Give that person a name in your life. He gave this Esau the name. That's how attributed that action of God in the life of Esau. But I know that you know someone or are someone to whom God has done that. A God who wrestles with his people to subdue their carnal nature. A God who wrestles with his people to subdue their carnal nature. How many times have we tried to box with God? But he never stopped. He wrestled with us until we won. Okay? Not he won. We won. He wrestled with us until we won back into the power of God, and we were able to subdue our carnal nature. The God who changes names and changes characters. A God who changes names and changes characters. Yeah. So by calling him the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or calling him the God of, you put the names in there as well, Elijah was declaring that God could do very similar things again. He could raise Israel, a spiritually dead nation, back to life. He could turn the curse indicated by a lengthy drought, because remember, it hadn't rained in 3 years, into a blessing, indicated by the downpouring of rain. Hallelujah. We were told about the rain coming and that being the blessing. He can turn mourning, our sadness, our griefing into laughter, and change the backslidden seed of Jacob into true Israelites, so that the seed of the world, of that sin, and make us true children of God, those who rule and reign with God, all of which actually happened then as well as now. And so that was just the PowerPoint, Elijah. I guess we have to stop there because I want to open the lines. This is the Friday Fellowship of Learning. And as you have gone through this, the prayer and the PowerPoint of Elijah, insight, inspiration, revelation you receive, the lines are open. I've been excessively talking. Some lines are open. I'd like to hear from you guys this morning. When you had Overseer
ask us to mention maybe three people who have made an impact of mm-hmm. you know, volumes in our lives. I had to look at, see my grandmother, who was a missionary, mm-hmm. a pastor, but who instilled in us the Word of God. And you, when you came into her old church up in the country, you couldn't just sit up on the bench. You had to come in. You had to have a song, a prayer, a scripture. And you went all Baptist way, and it was just, but she gave you the foundation. And then my mama even followed up with that as a pastor as well. And but a teaching that went, and when you went to Bible study, you couldn't just sit on the pew. You had to know the Word of God, and you had to study. You couldn't come and just thought you was going to fill up on somebody else's stuff. And they'll have you read it until you stay on that whole scripture until you get it. So and then I did think of Billy Graham because we would watch him a lot as we was growing up. So those was my three.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
Good morning over here.
Good morning.
I thought about in the prayer where he mentions, but basically this is definitely a paraphrase, but Lord, hear me. They can know you and turn their hearts back to you. The position was kind of like he wasn't questioning whether God could or would or had the ability to do it, but he was saying to God, you know, Lord, hear me so that these people can see, you know, kind of like use me as a conduit in the middle between you. I got faith in you, but they need to see. So they need to see that what I'm asking you for, that you perform that so that their hearts can be turned, not toward Elijah, but to be turned back toward God. And I think just to have that faith, to have faith that is strong mm-hmm. enough that's saying, Lord, I know you can do it, but just do it so that they can see it. You know, not just,
amen.
Lord, do it for me because I need it. You know, but Lord, I know you can do it, and I want you to do it on behalf of them as opposed to the behalf of me.
Amen. Amen. And I thought of three times it happened like that in Scripture before, just off the top of my head. But that's how David felt when he went up against Goliath. You know, he said, that's because, you know, how dare they? They can't do that to you. You know, do this so they know they can't treat you that way. And then what did Jesus say with the Lazarus? He said, I'm asking you to show them because I know you the resurrection. I know you can do it. You know, but they need to know that. And that should be our heart cry in all that we do. Do it, Lord, so that the people will know. They will know you. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be lifting him up. We're supposed to be revealing the power of God that we have tapped into. We know the power, but there are others that just don't. And so it should be, you know, it's not, like you say, not for our glory, but so that they will know God. And so that was one of the ongoing, upcoming PowerPoints, you know, to do what you do for the, and we say it all the time, I do it for the glory of God. Hallelujah. But we need to go higher in that concept. You know, it's like, Lord, so that they don't go to hell, so that your love for them will draw them back to you. You're wrestling. Sometimes he wrestles with man by using man to wrestle, I want to say for him, on his behalf. You know, those persons that are just so hard to deal with, but God loves them. They are his, and he needs us to wrestle with them until they win and get him. And so, you know, we just have to go so beyond some of the words that we've just been saying and having it stoke a fire, a flame within us that will bring us to the next level of power that we have, that we can tap into, that can flow out and flow to people so that they will know God. You know, so I think that's one of the things my grandson does. Anybody that does wrong and say anything bad about God, he wants to send them straight to hell. They're going to die, and that's it. And I keep telling him, no. Because if that were the case, then we would all be there, okay? Somebody got to have some mercy here. Somebody got to have enough love that covers other people's error until their hearts are pricked. And so often we pray, you know, to hold back the hand of the enemy long enough for that person to receive, you know, the revelation of the Holy Spirit so that they can come to God. Well, sometimes we're the ones that have to stand in the gap. We got to take the hits for that person while, you know, the Lord is preparing their heart. That's wrestling. That is at war, and we are at war with the people. Just the end of it. So that's a wonderful, I love it, you know, when our first thought, when we see sin is that it breaks God's heart, how can I change that? What can I do to make that not happen? And so whatever, you know, the anointing on your life is, whether it's prayer or teaching or preaching or professing or evangelizing or helping, whatever the anointing is on your life, that is the weapon the weapon that we've been given against that warfare in other people's lives. Wonderful point. Excellent point. Anybody else?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was reading back over those points, and I was thinking about my sister, my stepsister, when she was in a coma, and the doctor said she wasn't going to live. And she was just laying there lifeless. But I believe that God was going to raise her up. And he did. So I saw that as a God who raises dead things back to life. Because she was just... And then I thought about a supervisor of mine, the doctor, told her she would never have children, and she came to mind where it says a God who turns mourning into laughter.
Yes.
And, so, and God who turns cursed people into a blessing. I remember as a little girl, and I don't know too much about it, but I remember as a little girl, I know my aunt, she was a pastor, but I always felt uneasy because she burnt candles. She burnt different color candles, and I always felt uneasy about all of that. I thought it was witchcraft or something, but... no one else in the family does that, you know, as time went on. I never saw anybody else in the family. So I thank God that he did not let that tradition continue, because I always felt about the, you know, them different color camps, this, that, and the other. Yes.
Amen.
So I'm thinking that may have been some kind of, I don't know, but It just always feels wrong to me.
No, and I think that's wonderful. And I think as we bring it back up to remembrance, as we rehearse it, God is, what I want to say, He's listening. He's done these things. And sometimes we walk and live and act like we've done nothing. He's done nothing for us. Or we've never seen Him do these awesome things. It's like, you know, if you were Him, you know, you would be going, don't you remember when I did this? Don't you remember when I did that? Don't you remember when this happened? You know, and so we have to let Him know, you know, God, I remember when you did that. I remember when you did this. I remember when I saw this. I remember when this person was so down and just so oppressed because, like you say, they were barren and they didn't have children. And now they have this wonderful joy because they have this child. I remember that. I remember how you turned their mourning into laughter. You know, I remember, you know, and so we're rehearsing some of the awesome things we've seen Him do. That He likes that. He likes to know that His people appreciate Him, that they remember Him. You know, we're real quick to get a day and we're going to honor, what is it, Juneteenth or some mess because black people was freed or something, whatever it was. You know, so we real quick to grab and to remember something that we've done or something that man does has done. But, you know, He wants us to remember the stuff He did. You know, do you celebrate the day that Shanice was saved? You said, I'm just going to, and the day is her birthday. So we do want to say happy birthday. Someone reminded me this morning that this was my birthday, not my birthday, but the day I birthed someone. And that's awesome. Every mother, that's when you have that child, my God, it's a miracle. That is a miracle. And so I know it's her birthday, you know, the number of days, but it was a day that I gave birth, you know, that God allowed a life to come out of my womb. That's awesome. That's miraculous. You know, to go from nothing to a human being and then to have that person that's taking up space and time and breath and stuff to impact other people. That's just, it's just, you know what? It's amazing. And it is something that to be acknowledged, to be rehearsed on my behalf. And so I appreciate the one that brought it to my attention because they were rehearsing something that God had done. God likes that. He wants us to remember Him. Remember me. You know, He had a lot of feast days with the children of Israel because He wanted them to remember and celebrate the stuff He had done. You know, and so we want to remember not and celebrate the stuff He did for them. That's fine. But we need to remember and celebrate the stuff He did for us. You know, so wonderful remembrances that you guys are doing. Anybody else?
Yes, Overseer. That's why what I had called you the other day. Because what I'm going through now, even though we feel it's for us sometimes, God wants us to show Himself. And the way God is speaking to me now, because you definitely going to have to go through to know God for yourself. And then He say, if I done it before, I do it again. And then when you hear God really talking to you, and it takes you back to the promises. Everything is taking me back to those promises. Once we learn what God has promised us, then we won't forget. And every time the enemy comes in like a flood, we can identify His word and then His power and His authority.
Yeah.
So when He gave me only by faith and the enemy was attacking me and I was feeling shame and I didn't want to tell nobody. And then that's a trick of the enemy. that when he can get us to feel shame or guilt or anything, get it off. I'm saying that for everybody because God doesn't like that.
Yes.
He wants us to tell what we're going through. He said, confess your faults one to another. So I began to tell the devil he was a lie and the truth wasn't in him. And everything that he was trying to do, God showed out from nowhere. From who would expect that a young man stole a car and ran into the building? Here I was concerned about the building and got to go to court, and I didn't want to have to go to no court system. I had been there, done that, and that's what God was telling me. I'd done it before. I'd do it again.
Yeah.
And he knew I didn't want to go stand in front of no court. I was like, God, but you promised the only court system we have to go as the people of God is his court. Oh, my goodness. And it's just, like you said, I believe you said it earlier, you can laugh at the devil. When we begin to have that joy, he said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And when we begin to realize that the joy of the Lord is our strength, because Satan can't get us down, he won't worry. He even told us we don't have to worry about anything. So every time we find ourselves worrying, we can go back and that promise, God, but you promised me, why am I worrying? And then you hear him talking.
Yeah.
And he'll tell you, I don't know, why are you worrying? You know, God is so awesome. I'm trying to be quiet. But once you start talking about God, you know, we'll get that energy that you can't even stop talking about it because he is. It ain't no more. He say, if you believe that I am, I'm everything. And then he tell you, stop looking at sin. I was praying and talking about all sin that's going on in Chicago, and he's beginning to show me, do you still see sin? I said, oh, no, you took on all sin. But this is a trick. That's a deceivement of the devil. So we know that Jesus took on all sin. Why? Because he told us that in the last days what's going to happen. So we know it got to happen the way he said it's going to be. But we know that he took on all sin, and we start confessing that, and people will start looking at us like we're peculiar. You know, he say his people are peculiar. So when we in line, when we outside, when I love Only by Faith, because when they come in the shop now, they ooh, this is different. This is different. And more seniors coming in, too. And just a joy that God put in other people through you, through us, and other people changed. So I just thank God for what he's doing. And he made these promises to us. And all we have to do is just give him back his word. And he can't lie. So his word is truth.
Amen. Amen. And so, you know what? Powerful is our testimony and our sharing with one another. And, you know, I was reminded, you know, of the phone call we had and the fact that sometimes you can't tell everybody. And that's sad because it's sharing what God has done. So sometimes when we are blessed and we want to share that blessing, people take it wrong. You know, they'll take it, oh, they just bragging, or they just this, or they just that. No, we really are amazed at what God is doing in our life. And we need to be able to have a environment where people can do that and not feel like they're going to be judged wrong. I'll just put it that way. But that they can be rejoiced with, that people will rejoice with them because it's not them, it's God. And that's something that sometimes we as a people, we don't allow people to do because we kind of judge it in a way that we shouldn't. You know, we just see it. We don't see it with spiritual eyes. We see it with carnal eyes. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
So sometimes it makes it where people won't give a testimony. They won't really tell, you know, the powerful things that God has done because they feel they'll be judged. Like some people, you know, delivered from drugs, but they don't want to tell you because that means you're going to look at them because they were on drugs. They're not going to get the fact that you were delivered from it. You know, they're just going to focus on the fact that you were it. You know, so often our attitudes towards the wonderful things that God has done is not God honoring, and it does not encourage growth, development, and empowering of one another. And so we have to be careful about that. You know, that's why some people won't give a testimony in church. Sometimes people don't want to share stuff because they don't know how people are going to take it, what they're going to do with it, whereas we need to take the glory of God that's in it and lift that up. And in lifting that up, he will bless the people. And so that is a wonderful example. Thank you so much for sharing that. Amen. Anybody else? All right. Well, we're going to finish Elijah next week, I'm sure. Well, I'm not real sure, but I'm hoping we will finish Elijah next week, which will be the 31st of July, the end of July. So, if there be nothing, enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Have a blessed day.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. 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 Amen.